my soul. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's well with my soul. Turn back and say, me too. Whew. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Dan. That was wonderful. Isn't it great to be in the house of God? Well, as Pastor Peter alluded to, we had an enjoyable time in Banff. But it's wonderful. That was our pastor's conference. But it's wonderful to be back in Prince Albert on the prairies. Because you can see for miles. So you actually not only know what your neighbor does, but you know what everybody else around you is doing. It's amazing. It's great to be back. But thank you for blessing us in that way by permitting us to go as staff. It was a great time. These three people were visiting and viewing the Grand Canyon. An artist, a pastor, and a rancher. And as they stood on the edge of that massive abyss, each one responded with a cry of proclamation. The artist said, ah, what a beautiful scene in which to paint onto a canvas. And the pastor cried, ah, what a wonderful illustration of the handiwork of God that I can preach. And the rancher, he said, what a terrible place to lose a cow. Different thoughts, same place. Different thoughts, same place. That's how it is in life. And even when it comes to peace and understanding it, I'm sure there are various thoughts of peace right within this sanctuary this morning. I warned you that we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 3 again this week, and I invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. It's back in the New Testament. It's after James. If you get to 2 Peter, you've gone too far. 1 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to share with you just some simple ways in which we can enjoy peace, because I think we need to enjoy it. You know, the vision for this year is resting in God and loving one another. And I cannot think of one other thing in this world that can grant you peace more than coming to Jesus for rest. Amen? You better believe it. But we're going to discover today how you can enjoy your peace. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. And I was going to start at verse 3, but I'm not. I'm going to start at the beginning of the chapter of 1 Peter chapter 3. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So that nothing will hinder your prayers. So that nothing will hinder your prayers. I repeat that because I think somehow husbands look at that and say, well, we got a little bit less to do than wives. But I'm really talking to all of us today how we can enjoy peace. It's right within this passage. We can enjoy peace through solitude with God. See, verse 3 not only speaks to, because, you know, it's speaking about wives, but it also applies to us. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. I want to replace that. I want to replace that a little bit. And just add a little bit to it, such as outward adornment, such as that beautiful brand new truck. That gorgeous suit that you're wearing, Dev. How wonderful your haircut is. You know, your wife cut it, but it looks so great on you. How you wear your glasses so well. They're Quicksilver glasses, by the way, in case you're wondering. You know, we enjoy peace through solitude with God. Not by how we look, but how we are inside. And I have about 50 scriptures that I'm going to go through today. No. 50 scriptures that I could speak about this. And I think you'd get the point if I did, but I think you'd get the point anyway. Sometimes we're more concerned about outward things than we should be, and not near enough concerned about our inner life. The Amplified Bible says it so well. It says, "Let not yours be the merely external adorning with elaborate interweaving and knotting of the hair, the wearing of jewelry, or change of clothes, but let it be the inward adorning and beauty of the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible and unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is not anxious or wrought up, but is very precious in the sight of God." The beauty of the hidden person of the heart. Person. I can tell you this morning that, you know, God may not like my outfit. I mean, he may. He may think it's really kind of cute. That's why I wore this today. It's double-breasted. It's finely weaved. My tie almost matches because I asked my wife. I've got nice polished shoes that match, my beautiful socks, all this other stuff. God's not so concerned about that as he is about what is going on in my heart, my inner heart condition. When I show up here is important to God. Amen? Do you get this? God is greatly concerned about what is going on within you, more so than what he is about what is going on about you. The hidden person of the heart. God knows the hidden heart. I got to tell you, Brandon and Leah, they're not here. You don't know this, but they're down in Oklahoma. They have a recording contract. And they're down there doing a recording this week. You don't know it because they don't want you to know it. They have a hidden heart. God is right in there. You also don't know that they did worship at the Banff Pastors Conference. And they had, I don't know how many pastors who wanted them to steal them away from here. And I had a pastor come to me and he said to me, and I'm saying this because they're not here. He said to me, he said, "I just want you to know," he's from Vancouver, "I just want you to know that I'm going to approach your associate of worship to come and work with us. And I think we can top your dollar." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because," he said, "they are so genuine in their heart that they reflect Christ every time they stand up front." We saw it again today in this worship team. God knows the hidden heart. I think our world longs for peace, and they're desperate in trying to find it. And when they see someone who actually has it, they want it. And that's what this passage is about. Don't be concerned about how you look. Be concerned about how you act, how your heart is. Because the world wants it. You think of it. Why was it that Jesus was able to stand up in the storm in the boat in passages that we read and rebuke the storm? You cannot rebuke the storms in your life if you've got a storm inside of your life. The disciples couldn't rebuke the storm because they were as stormy as the storm. When Jesus spoke out of that well of peace that he had in him, "Peace be still." Got to have peace in our lives. He said you have to have peace in your relationships. And we've talked about this, peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with other people. See, I'd encourage you that as we've walked through this Love One Into the Project, one of the things you were supposed to do was you were supposed to do a gratitude list of all the things that you're thankful to God for. And I'd encourage you to just go over that inventory. How are you doing in your relationship with God? Are you mad at God? Are you thankful for Him? Like, don't, we're often mad. We're mad at God. Don't be mad at God for what you prayed for and didn't happen. Don't be mad at God because your friend got healed and you didn't. Don't be mad at God because your friend got married and, I'm not going to say consider yourself lucky, but, you know, we're so mad at God so often. And we may not even acknowledge it. You at peace with God. That's so necessary for your heart to be right, for you to have inner peace, to enjoy peace. And then do you have peace with yourself? It's very important that you get where you're going in peace. I mean, how can you be a witness to anybody on your job or in the store or if you show up a wreck every morning, you know? I mean, how are people going to believe that God is really God? When we talk about peace, if they don't see it working in our own heart. Don't you think that when people watch you, and when they watch you throw fits 3 times a week, that especially children, they're going to grow up and they're going to do the exact same thing. They're going to throw fits 3 times a week. They see you every time that something happens, you get bad or you get angry. See, people even listen to us when we're on the phone. See how you act when you go through trials and tribulations. They see how you act when the pressure's on. See how we act when we don't get our way. They see how we act when someone tries to correct us. They see if we're rebellious or not, and they're going to do exactly what they see. We have to be an example to people as Christians. An example. That's why this Love One of the Project's so great. I don't know if you took a moment. I'm going to ask you, but I don't know that when you had to approach a stranger and smile. I was thinking, that's great, smile, makes people wonder what you've been up to, but I, you know, I don't know, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to come down, you're going to share with us a little bit about how that happened for you, but, so get ready, if you've got a story to tell, tell the story, but our problem is we always wait for every adverse feeling to go away before we'll actually have peace, and I'll tell you, that's never going to happen. You got to claim peace. You have to be content in yourself and in your relationship with God so that you can walk worthy, so you can walk with that inner peace and enjoy it, the inward stillness that God gives. This only comes by having solitude with God, just spending time in His presence, just sitting there, being with Him. Well, let it be the inward adorning and beauty of the hidden person of the heart, a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is not anxious or wrought up, but that type of spirit is very precious in the sight of God. Not the external, it's the internal. Little Johnny watched, he was fascinated, his mother smoothing cream on her face. You know, oil of Olay. I use it. I'm sorry. And little Johnny said, "Why do you do that, Mummy? Why do you do that?" He asked her. She said, "To make myself beautiful. Make myself beautiful." And then she took a tissue and she started removing the cream. Little Johnny said, "What's the matter? Are you giving up already?" Maybe you're giving up already. I don't know. You're giving up. Don't give up on God. If you make your mind up today, I'm going to have peace. Start sitting with God and having solitude with Him. Start watching your life. If you're doing that, start watching your life. Because you have to watch your life because you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed when you see how many times every single week Satan launches an attack against you for the sole purpose to steal your peace. And once you see it, you know, I mean, if the devil wants your peace so bad, then there must be something pretty powerful about being peaceful. And you can only remain peaceful by sitting in solitude with the author of peace. So we enjoy peace through inner solitude, but also by rendering peace. If you look at this passage, verse 8, which we talked about a little bit last week. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers and sisters. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. I tell you, this Love One Another project is great because you can't do it without going to God. You can't love others without God. You can't. There's no possible way. But it's interesting that the project in regard to smiling to a stranger, which we were asked to do a couple weeks ago, you know, even just saying hello or standing in the elevator and singing Kumbaya, I don't know. It's great. I mean, I was trying that at Banff. I don't know if it worked because we didn't have enough time. But, and I hope you're grabbing a hold of this project because it changes your life. I want you, though, to watch this video. It's a group of people who really went up to strangers, okay, at Heathrow Airport. And I just want you to watch the expressions on the faces of the people as they did this. Now, take a look at this. T-Mobile. Now I want you to see the. You have to shut the lights off again. I want you to see what that did. Now, just show. You can show number two. Okay.
You see lots of amazing things and, you know, unusual things sometimes in an airport, but. Never anything like this before.
It was amazing. It was totally unexpected and bizarre and fabulous.
My whole body just kind of shivered. It was like surreal.
We didn't know quite what was happening to be walking into the center of such an occasion.
Some man grabbed me and I joined in, and then a girl grabbed me and I joined in again, and I just didn't want it to end.
We were shocked. It's not like that in Finland.
Just put a big smile on my face.
It made me feel special.
I've never been to an airport where I have felt so appreciated for the long-haul flight. It makes it all worthwhile.
I just thought it was amazing. I think everyone should be welcomed back like that.
It'd make place a lot happier, wouldn't it?
I'd be calling my friend in France to say, come to London, it's unbelievable.
Do you know what I read? I read that if the world was like that, we wouldn't be clamoring for peace. That's what a comment was said in regard to that. If we have that time of solitude with God, if we sit with God, if we yearn for peace in our heart, then I'll tell you, the devil likes to get me upset because I want it. I want to be at peace. I want it in here. I want to enjoy peace. There's a time I was invited to address a group of people in one of our churches, and the person who was supposed to pick me up forgot about me. And I hate to tell you, I lost my peace. And when I was finished with him, he lost his. I mean, I said, how can you forget about me? I mean, I'm too important. You know, I'm a little important to the meeting. I was no example to that stranger of who God is. I have to tell you, I was addressing a group of leaders, and here I was talking to them about being obedient to God, and here was that fellow sitting there. And I had to tell him, I had to say to the group, I didn't have peace at that moment because the devil likes to get me upset. You see, I hope you get this. A very peaceful spirit, a peaceful spirit, that cry, and it doesn't mean getting along with everyone. Don't get that, okay? Don't take me, oh, I have to get along with everybody. No, don't, I have to do everybody, you know, everybody asks, I have to do. No, it doesn't mean that. It means sitting with God, sitting in his presence, yearning for the peace he's given, saying, God, I know peace is very precious in your sight. I just want it. I want to enjoy it. I want it in my life. And as you enjoy it, you express it. It comes out. You can't hold on. I'm going to invite you, because you were given an assignment a couple weeks ago to even say hello to a stranger. You were invited to say hi to a stranger or talk to them or pray for them. I'll tell you about my experience. I was in the doctor's office to get my flu shot. That's why I'm coughing now. And and this lady came out the door into the waiting room. And as she came out, she had this look. And I don't know what happened. But she started walking by and I went, hello. And she walked by me and she went, do I know you? I said, no. Oh, I thought I might know you because you said hello. I said, no, I just felt like saying hello. She said, well, you know, I work here. And she had tag on. She said, I work here and I meet a lot of people. And so I don't know everybody. And so I just thought I might know you. I said, oh, I know how that is. I said, because I'm a pastor. I meet a lot of people and I don't know everybody. You're a pastor? I said, yeah. No wonder you said hello. She said, no wonder you said hello. I thought, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Do you have a story to tell? Do you have a story to tell of how you met up with some stranger, smiled, or said hello? Do you have a story? And don't all jump up at once. Do you have a story? Hello? Hello?
I've got to admit, it doesn't have anything to do with the Love Project because I wasn't thinking of that. Some of you know I bought some land and I like to hunt on it, and I was hunting yesterday and I shot a deer. And I've posted my land, no hunting, but I've allowed some people, I've given them permission to come. Well, two strangers come walking by, and my first thought was, what are they doing on my land? So I walked over to him. I said, do I know you guys? like she said to you. No, well, we got kind of turned around here. Do you own this land? And I said, yeah. Oh, we are so sorry. And I said, well, that's okay. There's lots of deer around, so go ahead and enjoy yourself.
Amen.
And I don't know, I didn't tell them I did that because I was a Christian. Or maybe someday they'll find out. But.
Amen. Thank you, Dan. That's great. Anyone else? Story. Somebody does at the back, but they're screaming for my attention. Maybe. Come on, last chance. Come on. How are you? Anyone? Oh.
One day I was on the bus, and some of the bus drivers know that I'm a Christian, and I know that some of them are a Christian. And I didn't know this lady that needed prayer, and the bus driver asked me to put my hand on her chest, and I didn't know the whole situation. And then he put his hand on my arm, and he prayed for her for healing for her heart.
Amen.
And she went to the doctor, and I found out that there's nothing wrong.
Amen. That's great. Anyone else? Got a story?
My story is not how that person felt, but where I volunteer is the Salvation Army, and there's people that come in for breakfast and coffee time, and they have pretty grim lives. And I went over to one table and I smiled, remembering that smile to strangers. It didn't change that person's look, but it sure changed me inside.
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Linda. Anyone else?
I was shopping in Saskatoon, and I walked in the store and said hi to the clerk and whatnot, and I was in there for about a half hour, and she commented about three times on my scarf, and I just thought, I felt the Lord say, give her your scarf. And so I took my scarf off, and I put it over her, and I said, God bless you. And she started to cry, and she said, no one's ever done such a nice thing for me. And it just really made my day. And then by the time I left the store, she came walking over with this little package. And she said, I'd like you to have this. And I said, well, yeah, you don't have to give me something just because I gave you something. But I said, thank you very much. And it was kind of a moment where the whole atmosphere in the store changed, and when that happened, all the sales clerks were running over and wondering what was going on, but it was very special, and it was a blessing to me.
Great.
All I have to say is it's unbelievable what a smile will do. When I was working, and that's just a thing of our family, is that we're all noticed for our smile. And this fellow came in to me and he said to me, you know, he said, I come here, and he said, I have never come in and seen you without a smile on your face, to no matter how your customers deal with you. And it has been a thing that I've remembered, and it is true what a smile
Amen.
Will do for people.
Amen.
I was going to Canadian Tire the other morning, and there was an old gentleman headed for the same door as I was, and we kind of got to the door at the same time. And I've got a saying when I meet people or something, I say, what a great day, or isn't that a beautiful morning? And he said, what's good about it? And I said, well, we're alive, and we're standing here talking to one another, and I don't know about you, but I feel kind of good. And he said, you know, I never thought about it that way. So we carried on through the lobby, and we got in the store, and we probably stood there and visited for about 2 or 3 minutes, and he shook my hand and said, well, you know what? You just made my day, guy, and away you went.
Beautiful. You know, there's nothing that speaks louder than who you are. You are the message. And it doesn't matter what you say. It matters how you present it, whether it be hunters on your land, giving away your scarf, or saying, what a great day, or just smiling. God uses that. Those are seeds that are planted so that you enjoy peace, as it was said. You enjoy it. Without peace, you can't really function in your ministry or the things of God. You can't. I mean, I can always dress up and look pretty. I can put on my beautiful suit and my black shoes. But if I didn't have peace with God, peace in my heart, peace with myself, peace with other people, you know what would be missing this morning? The power of God. Verse 11. Let him turn away from wickedness and shun it, and let him do right, says the Amplified. Let him search for peace, which is harmony. Let him seek it eagerly, pursue peace. There's nothing Satan works at harder than to destroy our peace, to make us at odds with other people, to make us at odds with God. And Jesus must have known that, because he said, "My peace I leave with you." Jesus said, "I am giving you my peace." You see the importance of coming to him and sitting in his presence so that you can receive the peace he's given. Let's pray. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I ask you this morning, I don't know, maybe you watched that video and you thought, boy, that's amazing, but that's a video. Well, that happened. Saying to those people. Maybe you heard the stories and you thought, oh, here we go, there's stories again, and I can't do that. Maybe you're not really sitting with peace right now. Maybe you're searching for it. Maybe you haven't had that time where you can sit with God and just be in his presence, that solitude. And maybe you've been avoiding that because maybe you're just mad at God, mad at what's happening, mad at what he's doing in your life. Today you can kind of clear that up. You can tell him, God, I'm mad at you. You can tell him how you feel. You can express to him really what's going on in your heart. And then you can say to him, God, I know that you love me even though I'm mad. Because nothing separates us from the love of God. Maybe you're really hurting today. Maybe you feel like things aren't just going the way you want them to. Maybe you just need to say, God, I'm not really at peace even with myself. Or maybe you just want to change people. You want them to behave differently, or you want them to look different. Maybe you need to say, God, change my heart so that I'm not always trying to change somebody else into who I want them to be, so that I'm comfortable with who I am. Today, you can enjoy peace. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you're coming to God in some way that way this morning. And that's okay. It's good. God, this morning we've talked about enjoying the peace you have left. You have given us your peace. And Lord, why is it that you've given us your peace? Why is it that we allow Satan to just grab a hold of it all the time? So that we're not at peace with ourselves. We're not at peace with you. We're not at peace with other people. God, it's even hard for us sometimes to smile or to say good morning or... Why is that? But we know, God, that you've left us your peace. So today we grab hold of it. Enter our hearts, God. Anoint us with your presence. As we sit here, but as we leave here and walk from here, may, Lord, we carry your anointed wherever we go. May you bless us as we enjoy your peace. To you be the honor, all glory, and all power. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.